no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this week. And we'll begin today with a little story from The Whistler. This one's titled Dark Moon, first aired November 19th, 1947. And it's a quick little episode of Ripley's Believe It or Not and Bono the Dwarf. We'll finish off with CBS Radio Workshop and The Legend of Jimmy Blue Eyes from March 23rd, 1956.
The Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. That whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things. For I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, friends, it's time for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. Rated by independent research, the most popular West Coast program in radio history. And Signal Gasoline is tops, too, tops in quality. It takes extra quality, you know, to give you extra mileage. And Signal is the famous go-farther gasoline. So look for the Signal circle sign in yellow and black that identifies friendly dealer-owned Signal stations from Canada to Mexico. And now the Whistler's strange story. Dark Moon.
It was a miracle, the kind of miracle peculiar to a piece of Southern California acreage, where only a few years ago, a handful of men in puttees and riding breeches put their caps on backwards, grabbed their megaphones firmly, and set their cameras to grinding out an industry. Yes, it was the kind of a miracle that happens to someone almost every day in Hollywood. Russell Benton told himself all this as he walked into the oak-paneled office of Matthew Ellsworth, movie producer, cast an eye on the artificially young secretary behind the artificially old desk and introduced himself.
I have an appointment with Mr. Ellsworth. I'm Russell Benton.
Oh, yes, Mr. Benton. Mr. Ellsworth is expecting you. This way, Mr. Benton.
Don't bother. I know the way.
Oh, thank you.
Am I on time, Matt?
You're early. Sit down.
Yeah, this is one appointment I didn't want to miss.
Nervous?
Yeah, a little.
Relax, it's not going to hurt a bit. You know, I've got a lot of confidence in you, Russ.
I hope you're right.
Funny, isn't it? Only a week ago, you were just another name. A face that dropped in once a week at the casting offices around town. Now I've got every movie columnist in the country on my back trying to get you a life story.
A little premature, isn't it?
I don't know. I think your screen test will be everything I want it to be.
I hope so.
And if you make it, Russ, you'll be right at the top. It's a smash vehicle, this one we're testing you for. I think you're right for it. It needs a leading man with a touch of character. And in my opinion, you can't miss.
Dark Moon.
3 years on Broadway and still going. We spent $500,000 for the picture rights of Dark Moon, you know.
Tell me, Matt, there was another guy.
John Bradford?
Yeah. He's up for the part, too, isn't he?
He made a great test, but I think you'll top him. The New York people seem to think he's terrific. I'm not so sure.
Uh-huh. What about my test? When does it happen?
As soon as they're ready on the set.
It's a little like waiting to be hanged.
Relax, I said. By the way, what do you think of the part?
It's a natural for me.
Shame I didn't find you when I was casting the play in New York.
It wouldn't have been hard. I was there at the time.
Oh, what made you leave?
Circumstances, Matt.
Theatrical?
Matrimonial.
Oh. I didn't know you were married.
I'm not. Been divorced for 2 years.
Couldn't make a go of it, huh? Or Am I on a touchy subject?
No. It was simple. She liked mink. My pocketbook didn't.
An actress?
Yeah, she's probably still back there. I haven't seen her since we split.
Oh, that's too bad. I've only been married for about a year now, but I think I have a pretty wonderful girl. An actress, too. I met... excuse me.
Ellsworth?
Yes, he's in my office. Good, we'll be right down. Let's go, boy. They're ready to shoot. We're due on the set in 10 minutes.
And in 10 minutes, the miracle begins to happen, Russ. As soon as you face the camera, the second Matt gives you the cue to begin, you forget about everything except the scene you're doing. Forget about Cassie and the marriage that failed. Forget the struggle, the futile hopes, and even the miracle that placed this opportunity in your lap. As you get into the scene, all you know is that you're giving the greatest performance of your life. And when the cameras finally stop grinding, you can tell from the look on Matt's face that you made it. That the name of Russell Benton is as good as on 1,000 theater marquees over the magic title Dark Moon.
Cut.
Hey, boys.
All right, Freddy.
How was I, Matt? What do you think?
Terrific. As far as I'm concerned, it's settled.
Who else is there?
A handful of New York backers. I'm flying back there tonight with the prince. Call you as soon as it's definite.
It's happening right before your eyes, Russ. The wonderful night before Christmas feeling is real. Not a dream anymore. And now, with a big hurdle behind you, you know you can't miss. It's too good to keep, Russ. And early that evening, you drive over to Laura's home in Beverly Hills. He'll be proud of you now, and that's important. You want Laura to be proud.
Russ, darling, I heard I'm so happy for you.
Me too.
Have they said anything definite?
Matt's gone to New York with the prince.
Oh, you mean about Don Bradford?
Yeah.
Well, the New York people have held out for him all along. But don't worry, darling. Matt will make them see the light. Come on now, the party's out by the pool. Let's join them, shall we?
Wait a minute, Laura. I thought you said a small party.
Come on, they won't bite. I'll introduce you to some of the nicer ones.
Well, if you... Say, isn't that Frances Connors, the columnist?
Uh-huh. Queen Frances herself. I want you to meet her.
How do you do it, Laura?
You'd be surprised. Now, be nice to her, darling. She can make or break any actor in Hollywood.
Do I kneel down and kiss her hand?
No. Just give her a captivating smile, A26, darling. The impressive one. Frances!
Excuse me. Yes? Oh, Laura.
Frances, I'd like you to meet Russell Benton. Frances Connors, Russ. Mr. Lucky himself. How do you do, Russ? I've been waiting to meet you.
How do you do?
I've heard the good news. Congratulations. It's a great story and a great part, darling. I'm all for you.
Thanks.
Don't let it spoil you, Russ.
Go on, Frances. I love it.
Well, let's have the story. What did you do up to now, Russ?
Oh, the usual. Stock. Several years of theater work in New York. That's about all.
Ever been married? Divorced? Kidnapped? Shot at?
Married and divorced, yes.
Russ, you never told me.
You never asked, Angel. Why should I...
Mr. Benton, excuse me, please.
Yes.
You're wanted on the phone, so said it was important.
Oh, you'll excuse me?
Of course, darling. I'll think up some questions while you're gone.
Be right back. Hello?
Hello, Russ. This is Kathy.
Kathy?
Well, don't sound so happy, darling.
Where are you?
In front of my fireplace in Hollywood.
But I thought you were in New York. How did you know I... What made you call here?
It wasn't too hard to find you, dear.
What do you want?
I just want to talk to you. If it isn't asking too much.
Well, you better forget it. I told you once I was through, and I meant it.
You're being very foolish, you know. This is business.
Business?
Your part in Dark Moon.
Maybe I didn't make myself clear. I don't want to talk to you about that or anything else.
I think you will, Russ. It's so nice. You're a success now.
Matt Ellsworth seems to think so.
Does he?
Anything odd about that?
No, I just wonder sometimes whether Mr. Ellsworth knows you as well as I do. Perhaps I ought to have a talk with him.
What makes you think you could talk to Ellsworth?
Well, that shouldn't be hard, darling. You see, I'm his wife.
With the prologue of Dark Moon, the Signal Oil Company is bringing you another strange story by The Whistler. But now let's tune in on another strange story. Listen.
That's strange. I just bought that battery a short time ago and it's dead already.
Nothing so strange about that, lady. Chill nights and mornings put quite a strain on batteries. And some batteries hold up better than others.
You mean all batteries are not alike?
Indeed, they're not. That's why when you're investing money in a new battery, it's not good business to take a chance on new or unknown brands. Make sure that you're choosing a real quality article, such as a genuine Signal battery. Every rugged Signal battery is made from the very finest materials according to exacting specifications laid down by Signal Oil Company. And Signal batteries are guaranteed for long, trouble-free service.
Who stands back of that guarantee?
Signal Oil Company, which supplies the products for almost 2,000 dealer-owned Signal stations, is proud to stand back of every Signal battery.
One more question. Where can I get a Signal battery?
From your neighborhood Signal dealer, the same man who checks your battery when you get gasoline and recharges it when it's low. Just another good reason for making your next battery a genuine, guaranteed Signal battery. And now, back to the Whistler.
Kathy is Matt Ellsworth's wife. You stand dumbly at the telephone, her words still reverberating in your ears. Putting it together now, Matt's remark this morning about marrying some actress, the most wonderful girl in the world, he'd said. Yes, Russ, it's true. Kathy is Mrs. Matt Ellsworth. She can ruin you with a word. You make a hurried excuse to Laura. Hasten down to your car. Drive to the number Kathy gave you high in the hills overlooking Hollywood. And as you walk up the steep stairs to her front door, you make a decision, Russ. That if Kathy tries in any way to keep you from getting that part, you'll do anything to stop her. Even kill her.
Sit down, darling.
Thanks.
Nice of you to come. I thought you'd change your mind.
I simply wanted to find out what was on yours.
Well, aren't you even going to say you're happy to see me?
I'm not a hypocrite, Kathy.
Just as sweet as ever, aren't you?
Suppose you get to the point.
Point?
I don't want to stay here any longer than I have to.
Well, as I told you, it's about Dark Moon.
Naturally.
My husband doesn't often make mistakes for us. However, I think he's making one on this picture. And I've told him so.
What kind of a mistake?
There's a charming young actor I've come to know very well in the past year. I think he's made to order for the lead. And the New York backers seem to agree with me.
Don Bradford?
Yes. I want him to have that part.
Why?
I told you, he's charming. He's competent. I like him.
I see. I might mention that Matt doesn't seem to agree with you. At least not after my screen test this morning.
Yes, that's right. So, I'm afraid there's only one way to convince him.
Oh?
You're going to tell him you don't want the part, Russ. You've decided not to take it.
What? You think I'm crazy?
No, that's why I'm talking to you. I've put some high cards in front of Matt, Russ. But I haven't played the ace.
What do you mean?
He doesn't know we were married. There are some things I could tell him. Well,
you wouldn't do that.
I don't think I'll have to. Because you're going to gracefully decline in favor of Don Bradford.
I think I know why you're doing this.
I told you I like Don Bradford.
No, it isn't that. You know as well as Matt that I'm right for this one, and this part will make me overnight. And you resent that, don't you, Kathy?
Nothing could hurt you more than seeing me successful. It's not a boost for Bradford. It's a kick at me.
All right, call it anything you want. But Matt gets back from New York tomorrow night at 9:30. I'll give you until 9 to make up your mind.
Where can I get in touch with you?
Right here. I'll be waiting. You won't disappoint me. Now, will you, darling?
No, Kathy. I won't disappoint you.
You know she's deadly serious as you leave the house. Know that this woman will stop at nothing to ruin you. And calmly, without emotion now, as you guide the car through the dark streets back to your house, you decide to kill her. It will involve a risk, a terrible risk. But you're ready to take any kind of a chance now, with destruction 24 hours away. Yes, all you can do now is improvise. Prepare in advance for the questions that are bound to come. The next morning, you call Laura.
Hello?
Hello, Laura. This is Russ. I wonder if you could give me a hand.
Oh, why not?
Anything planned for tonight?
Free as a bird.
Good. This may sound a little premature, Angel, but I thought I'd drum up a little thing at my place. You know, for 10 or 20 or so. A celebration.
Oh, sounds like fun.
I'll be busy all day, though. I have to get a few things for the party. I might not get there until around 9. Could you be a pal, sort of get things started for me?
Well, what time?
8:30 or so. I'll leave the place open, have everything ready for you. Suppose you could round up enough people to make it interesting?
Free party, darling. They'll be standing in line at the door.
Then I can count on you.
Of course, dear. You won't be long, though.
No, Laura. I won't be long.
But, Russ, you mind if I admit I'm a little confused?
Very simple, Jeff.
Is it?
You're not the biggest agent in the world, you know. You were saying the other day you'd give anything to handle me. After all, 10% of my salary after this picture is shot. And...
I know, Russ. I just don't understand why you'll sign up with me now after you turn me down.
I can trust you, Jeff. That's why. I want you to do a favor for me.
Oh.
I'm having a little party tonight. I can't get there until after 9, and I want to tell him I was tied up with my agent, say, from 8:30 till 9 o'clock.
You want me to say...
Yeah, uh-huh.
Look, Russ,
That's all you know. That's all you have to say, no matter what comes up. And tomorrow, I give you a 7-year contract as my manager. Now, what about it?
What can I lose? It's a deal.
Yes, Russ, it'll be a straight story, and you can stick with it. A conference with your new agent, Jeff Harris, until 9. A room full of witnesses ready to testify... You arrive at the party a few minutes afterwards with your arms full of groceries. That it's simply impossible that only a few minutes before you made the fatal visit to Kathy Ellsworth's house high on the hill. Yes, it's foolproof, isn't it? At 9:05, you step out of your car, walk up the steep stone steps to Kathy's door and press the bell.
Sorry I kept you waiting, darling. I was on the phone. Come on in.
No hurry, Kathy.
Let's go into the living room, shall we?
Any way you like.
Sit down.
I'll stand.
All right. Now, what about it?
I want to make very sure of one thing, Kathy. You are going through with this?
Well, of course I am. Matt will be here in 30 minutes, Russ.
There's no way I can change your mind.
I told you the way.
Too bad, Kathy. Too bad.
But no.
Mr. Benton.
Good evening, Angelo. Open a little late, aren't you?
Every night, Mr. Benton. Take my advice, my friend. Never go into the delicatessen store business. Work all a day. Work all a night, too.
I thought you closed at 9. 10 after, isn't it?
10 o'clock we close.
Oh, well, that's a break for me. I got a bunch of hungry friends on my hands tonight. What do you suggest?
Oh, maybe some salami, Swiss cheese, a beer.
Great, great. A pound of each of those. Some kosher dills if you have any. A couple of loaves of rye bread.
Take it easy.
And some champagne, Angelo.
Champagne?
Yeah, yeah, half a case. After all, Angelo, this is a celebration.
You try and shake the picture of her out of your mind as you leave the delicatessen and drive towards your house and the waiting guests. It's a grim picture, Russ. Kathy slumped limply against the overstuffed chair near the fireplace, awaiting the arrival of her husband in a matter of minutes now. A cold dread creeps over you, Russ, and the awful finality of what you've done makes you realize only now that, important as it seemed a few minutes ago, Dark Moon and the new career wasn't worth this. No, Russ, it wasn't worth murder. But there's no changing it now. You steady yourself. Take a firm grip on your nerves and the bundle of groceries and open the heavy front door of your house.
Hello, Russell.
Dave.
Here he is, gang.
Dale, a conquering hero.
Look, reinforcements.
Oh, manna from heaven.
Oh, what is it? I'm starved.
Hey, get easy.
That's my boy.
Give me a hand, will you, Dave?
Oh, what is it?
Champagne.
Will I give you a hand? Here, let Uncle Dave take care
of it. Oh, be gentle, old man. I don't want to christen the floor.
always get this way when I hear that magic word.
Where's Laura?
Out there in the wilderness somewhere. Laura!
Here you are, Dave. Take care of the champagne, will you?
You bet I will.
Laura?
Oh, Russ.
You did a great job on the party, thanks.
When you're a great man, I'll be your secretary. Did you take care of everything, darling?
Huh?
Your business. The thing that tied you up.
Oh, yes, yes. Everything is fine. Did Matt call yet?
No, not yet. When did he get in?
He ought to be in now.
Nervous?
Yeah, a little.
I don't blame you.
Well, he'll be over in an hour or so. It was nice of Frances Connors to accept tonight. Is she here yet?
No. Let's see, there was something I... Oh, yes, I knew there was something I had to tell you.
Yeah.
Russ, telephone.
Okay, I'll take it in the den. Excuse me a minute, Laura.
Yes.
Yeah?
Russ?
Yes?
This is Matt. I'm calling from the airport.
What do they say, Matt?
Brother, did I have a fight on my hands. We went round and round for 6 straight hours, with me talking Russ Benton while they talked Don Bradford.
How'd they like my test?
Great. They thought you did a great job.
It's all set, then?
Yeah, that's why I called you, Russ. I didn't want to keep you in suspense any longer.
That's nice of you, Matt.
I just wanted you to know I tried my best. You
tried your best?
They were too much for me, kid. I'm afraid it's going to be Bradford.
Bradford?
As I said, they love the test and all that. But they were set on Bradford from the
Bradford?
And after all, they're putting up most
of
the
dough. Oh, no.
Russ. Hello. Hello, Russ.
He couldn't have done it better with a sledgehammer, Russ. The room swims before your eyes. There's a buzzing in your ears, wiping out the sounds of the party in the next room. And you realize Matt's voice is still coming out of the receiver on the table. You pick it up, lay it in the cradle.
Hello, Russ. Hello.
You've committed a murder, Russ. You've killed Kathy. And for what? You stumble up to your room where you can be alone and sit smoking cigarette after cigarette while the party downstairs goes on without you. You can almost see Matt on his way now, on his way to find Kathy. You picture his car cutting through the night, winding along the tree-lined streets high over Hollywood. You can hear his steps as he walks up the brick path to the door, the key in the lock. You can see him as he walks into the living room, calling for her, puzzled. And you can see the sudden stroke of terror in his eyes as he finds the answer. You don't know how much later it is that the sound of your own doorbell downstairs snaps you out of it. And as you hurry back down, Dave is letting 2 men in. One of them is Matt. The other, a grim-faced man in a gray suit, is unquestionably a police officer.
Well, Matt, welcome home.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Matt.
Russ, can I see you a minute?
Sure. Let's go in here. You made it here in a hurry. Come straight from the airport?
No, I didn't.
I thought you were sore the way you hung up on me.
Hung up on you?
Yeah. Right after you gave me the jolt about Bradford. And it was a jolt, too, you know. That's no reason to hang up on a guy.
I guess we were disconnected.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is Inspector Hardin, Russ. Homicide detail.
Homicide?
That's right. I'd like to ask you a few questions, if you don't mind.
Of course. But I don't understand.
I'd like to know where you were tonight, Mr. Benton.
Why? Is something wrong?
It's my wife, Russ. Kathy was murdered tonight.
Murdered? Why are you asking me?
You didn't answer my question, Mr. Benton. Where were you all evening? Here?
Practically.
Practically?
Yeah, I was tied up with Jeff Harris, my agent, until pretty late. You can check on that. Then I stopped on my way here and bought some things for the party. Look, why are you asking me?
We had to ask a few questions, Russ. My wife had written the name Russell on a memo pad. After it, 9 o'clock.
Good Lord, Matt, I don't even know your wife. Until this moment, I didn't even know her name.
What about it, Mr. Ellsworth?
I'm surer now than I was before.
What are you talking about, Matt? How could I?
I had to do it, Russ. The inspector insisted we talk to you as a matter of routine. Even though I knew it was ridiculous. It wasn't Russ here, Inspector. I think I can vouch for that.
Okay. Sorry we bothered you, Mr. Benton.
Matt, you don't know how this makes me feel.
I know, Russ. Thanks. Come on, Hardin. We'd better get down to headquarters.
The Whistler will return in just a moment with a strange ending to tonight's story. Meantime, see if you can pick the winner in this discussion.
That's a smooth-running motor you have there, Mary. What kind of gasoline do you use?
Signal, Jim. I like the go it puts into the old buggy.
Hey, that's interesting. I use Signal, too, because I like its good mileage.
Mileage or performance? Which is the better yardstick of gasoline quality? Well, fact of the matter is, it takes superior performance to give you extra mileage. You see, the only way any gasoline can give you quicker starting, faster pickup, and smoother knock-free power is by helping your motor run more efficiently. And when your motor runs more efficiently, naturally you enjoy extra mileage, the thing Signal gasoline is famous for. That's why we say, to be sure of the tops in gasoline quality, there are just two things to remember. One,
in gasoline, it takes extra quality to go farther.
And two,
Signal is the famous go farther gasoline.
And now back to the Whistler.
Well, Russ, you've brought it off. Somehow, somewhere, you found the strength to face Matt and the inspector. And as you guide them back to the front door, you know the worst is over. That in spite of that damning piece of paper with your name on it, there's still no reason for them to suspect you. Still no known connection between you and Kathy. Still no discovered motive. And even though it was futile, Russ, even though the reason for the whole terrible night vanished into thin air with Matt's telephone call, you're safe. And with Matt still on your side, there'll be a future for you somewhere. As you open the door for them, Laura comes up to you looking a little worried.
What is it, Russ?
It's nothing, Laura.
Matt, aren't you going to stay?
No, Laura.
What is this? What's the matter?
It's nothing, Laura. There was just some question about where I was tonight at 9 o'clock.
Oh, well, you told him, of course.
Yes.
You know where he was, miss?
Of course. He was at Kathy Ellsworth's front door. She told me so when I called to ask her why she hadn't arrived at Russ's party.
Let that whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Wednesday night at this same time, brought to you by the Signal Oil Company, marketers of Signal gasoline and motor oil and fine quality automotive accessories. Signal has asked me to remind you, to get the most driving pleasure, drive at sensible speeds, be courteous, and obey traffic regulations. It may save a life, possibly your own. Featured in tonight's story was Frank Lovejoy. The Whistler was produced by George W. Allen with story by John W. Hart, music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Next Wednesday, for a full hour of mystery, tune in a half hour earlier. Enjoy The Saint as well as The Whistler. Marvin Miller speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not.
Bono was a French dwarf. He was only 18 inches tall at the age of 11. However, he ate 40 large cucumbers, 30 figs, and a whole watermelon for dessert each day. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about the guard who was faithful even after death. Stephanos was a guard at the monastery of St. Catherine on biblical Mount Sinai. On his deathbed in the year 580, he pleaded to be permitted to continue his services. This unusual request was honored, and so after his death, Stephanos was placed outside the house of the dead. There, his fully clothed skeleton still guards the entrance today, a macabre reminder of the loyalty of a man many years after his death, believe it or not.
This is the CBS Radio Workshop.
Blues is a woman, and a woman is the blues.
Sometimes she fades like a pair of tight shoes.
Cause blues is a woman, and a woman is the blues.
Sad news and glad news, but mostly bad news.
One ain't enough, and two is too many. Life is rough stuff if you ain't got any. Love is a hunger that few of us can fill.
True love's as rare as a $3 bill.
Love is a heartache that you take and you choose.
Sometimes you win, boy, sometimes you lose.
'Cause blues is a woman.
CBS Radio, a division of the Columbia Broadcasting System, and its 217 affiliated stations present the CBS Radio Workshop, radio's distinguished series dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
'Cause blues is a woman.
Tonight, transcribed, an original story ballad, The Legend of Jimmy Blue Eyes, by Edmund Brophy, with original music by Ray Noble, starring William Conrad as the narrator and Jimmy Dodd as Jimmy Blue Eyes, horn by Manny Klein.
In Storyville, where blues were born, there's a legend of a golden horn and a hot-lipped kid, blue-eyed and fair, who tried for a note that wasn't there. So come along Perdido Street where the hot licks tickle dancing feet that shuffle in patent leather shoes, where Jimmy Blue Eyes blew the blues. Now Jimmy Blue Eyes came on earth a child of hunger from his birth. He played all day around the streets of sin, and they spiked his milk with old Tom Gin. He's second line to each funeral band. Rushed the can when they made a stand. He held their horns with love and care while his face lit up like a county fair. He followed the tailgate players round when the wagons rolled through back of town. And the only prayers he ever knew were the kind of blue note trumpet blew. He roamed the streets from sun to moon. His bare feet beat to each tonky tune as it crept through the gin mill's swinging doors. And the sawdust danced on the white tile floors. He stole free lunch from bailhouse places and hustled a buck at the fairgrounds races. He talked to dice like a lover can. And he aimed for the life of a sporting man. When Jimmy Blue Eyes turned 16, he joined out Jill, a blues song queen. Jill dressed him like a special prize, this Dixie kid with his soft blue eyes. He had 20 suits and a Stetson skimmer, a box back coat and a diamond glimmer. A gold chain draped his fancy vest. Oh, he went first class. He was the best. Now, Jimmy Blue Eyes loved to dally at a card room down along Pig Alley. He could riffle a deck with gambler's ease and clean a cotch game like a breeze. One night, a player met his raise with a silver horn from better days.
I guess that's it, boys. I don't see no more money on the table. I'm folding up.
Hold on, Jimmy Blue Eyes. I got me some grouch bag dough. Deal out one hand a stud. One hand and I quit. Win or lose.
No, no good, Chippy. You blowed plenty of horn on the riverboat for that. I don't want no grouch bag money.
Who says you're going to win me? Deal the cards.
King, Trey. King bets.
20.
Queen, 6. King, Queen bets.
20.
10. 8. King's high.
20 again.
Jack. Deuce. Possible straight bets.
20 more.
I'll raise you 20.
I'm 20 shy. I'll put up my horn.
Oh, that's a pretty beat-up piece, man.
She blows plenty sweet.
Got a tone like a silver bell. It's a go. What do you got?
King high. You?
Deuces.
Jim showed his win to his loving Jill in her fancy flat in the morning still.
Why, Jimmy, honey, you couldn't call home the cows at sundown with that old thing.
Well, she's a singing dream, baby. I'll call her children home like Buddy Bolden used to do. I tried her out walking up Rampart Street. You could hear the echo down the riverside.
But you never blew horn before.
I was top horn in a reform school band.
Well, that don't make for playing Tom Anderson's saloon. And you're not filling in alongside King Oliver in a funeral band. That's a cinch.
Sweet Jill, I'm sure no fancy Dan. But I'm a dead bang natural music man. I'll take this battered silver horn and make it talk come Mardi Gras morn.
Jimmy, my love, since I was born, I've loved the music of a horn. You learn to make it weep and shout. I'll love you till the stars burn out.
Well, me and the blues are Kid and Candy. Or St. Louis and Memphis and Mr. Handy. If you stuck a pin in my heart, it's true. A drop of my blood had come out pure blue.
But summers came and winters went, and Jimmy's loving heart was bent. As before he hit that master blow, his sweet Jill blew with Hot Lips Joe. Now, Hot Lips Joe, he had no peer. He could shave a head from a glass of beer with a wind from his educated horn, just as sure as you were born, just as sure as you were born. The kiss-off gave poor Jim a jolt. He loaded up his blue steel colt and headed for the circus house to croak at Double Cross and Loss. Hot Lips Joe was holding the floor when a colt spit lead type 44. The bullet sang around his head. Jim killed a tourist guy instead. In sheer disgust, a gun he slammed upon the floor, and then he lammed. Along the streets of Jazz Mad Night, while whistles blew to halt his flight. And back at Minnie's circus house, Hot Lips Joe, that heart thief Louse, cased a sucker on the floor and smiled and whispered,
"Nevermore."
He did? Put a mirror to his mouth, Hot Lips.
Don't need no looking glass. Man got no pulse. He's a goner, dead as a mackerel.
Jimmy Blue Eyes gonna get himself fitted for a hemp necktie.
And the executing man gonna bag his pretty head with a little old black bag.
It's curtains for Jimmy, boy.
I say amen to that. Amen.
No, nevermore will Jimmy Blue Eyes catch me with a lead surprise. This hog wild kid is through for fair. A cinch to dance upon the air.
Before he ever got a mile, poor Jim was nailed and brought to trial. The old judge burned him with a look and up and hit him with a book. In a cell where Jimmy locked, steel secured, and granite blocked, he played a music rich, a part, a gift God gives a contrite heart. Long summers came, long winters went, and all of Jimmy's time was spent to reach a chord, to cut the air and blow that note that wasn't there. The sun went down in Storyville when love went out with Jim and Jill. First war came, then prohibition, and a district went to quick perdition. The diehards died on bathtub gin, but the music lived like hidden sin to tickle toes in northern lands with the advent of the Dixie bands. But New Orleans was much alive in the year of 1935. Jim took the long road home at last. The dark and bitter days were past. Now when Jimmy Blue Eyes hit the bricks, he was master of hot licks. His trumpet clawed and tore the air in search of a note that wasn't there. He played the hottest spots in town. Nearly blew the ceilings down. When his encores all were done, they said, "Oh, that man is Gabriel's son." The throw money fell at Jimmy's feet in full-blown gale, the silver sleet. He smiled and played right on until his mind ran back to his heartbeat, Jill. Now you show me an artist, fine or fair, who seeks a note that isn't there, and I'll show you a guy that most men ain't. He's alone in the clouds, an uncrowned saint. For he scatters joy to his fellow man, though he might wind up and also ran to drive past glory fortune, fame. It's Nirvana, sure. But a heartbreak game. And Jimmy's heart and soul sent out the soft, sweet tones of his trumpet shout. He blew it hot and low and high. He hit the fringe of heaven's sky. The multiplying strains made naught. He couldn't reach a peak he sought. He blew until the notes were faint, elastic stretches of his brain. He tried Hungan and Mambo pills, but they wouldn't bring the trumpet trills. He killed a quarter rye each day, and it didn't help for his high note play.
Jimmy, boy, your case is tragic. You'd best resort to Mammy Magic. She cooks a pot like jungle stew. There's conjure in her devil's brew.
Where's this Mammy Magic live? Where? Tell me where.
2 miles north of nowhere. 1 mile south of someplace. Look over your shoulder, man.
The old hut in the wood?
The old hut in the wood.
Now, Mammy Magic was her name. A voodoo witch of power and fame whose spells were famous as a blues from New Orleans to Newport News.
Monsieur Jimmy Blue Eyes, entrez.
You know me, Mammy Magic? You know my name?
Few things are secret to one who has a third eye. You are troubled. Speak.
Some walls and windows have ears.
I read your thoughts.
Well?
Your desire is beyond my power.
You lie, witch. I got the price, woman of darkness. I'm desperate. Do you hear me? Desperate. Level with me.
I tell you, Jimmy, on the level. You got to see my boss, the devil. You're asking one thing I can't do, despite the magic I can brew.
I'll have no truck with devils.
I'm selling. You are here to buy.
What's he asking for price?
I don't make out his bills. He keeps them plenty private.
Get you, devil man. We'll cut up a deal, me and him.
So Mammy Magic cast a spell to summon up the king of hell.
Dambala. Dambala.
Came in a flame of smoke and thunder that almost tore the town asunder. He smelled like absinthe and smoke and mud. His eyes were rubies, pigeon blood. He stood erect in a manner bold, and his tail was 80 karat gold.
Your very humble servant, sir.
Yeah,
Speak up, sir. There is no occasion for fear. I pride myself on an understanding heart.
Well, here's the situation, Mr.
Just call me Red. I'm a very democratic chap. All souls being equal before my eyes. What is your problem, Jimmy Blue Eyes? And what is your heart's desire?
Okay, Mr. Red. Here's the setup. I want to blow it up.
The Red King made a deal with him, had a secret locked inside Jim. And then with the evil art of old Red turned that silver horn to gold. Jimmy Blue Eyes walked on feet which never touched upon the street. He wore a broad smile upon his face, for that never, never note was his. That long, elusive note was there, the most immortal anywhere. But when he blew it, come what may, he had an awful price to pay. Old Hot Lips Joe had just come down from a long run in Chicago town. He'd been the world's top trumpet king for 20 years come one more spring. The jazz folk down in New Orleans dug folding money from their jeans to bet on Jim or Hot Lips Joe to contest for the master blow.
Put your money where your mouth is. I got a century, says Jimmy Jackson.
Well, you get it up, man. It's like shooting fish in a rain barrel.
Kansas City bets on Joe.
And Memphis takes your bet. Chicago goes for Hot Lips. That boy can really blow up a storm.
His money, marbles, chalk, and beans on Jimmy. The pride of New Orleans.
Who'll cover 5 G's with cash, not talk? It's Jimmy Blue Eyes for old New York.
Most ever parish up and down bet scads on Jimmy's horn renown. The high and low of fortune's birth came on from ever end of earth. The joint was jammed, and the 88 was under the dukes of a solid gate. The SRO sign hung outside, and there was Hot Lips Joe and his beauty bride, Sweet Jill, the nightingale of song. A dead wrong broad, dead wrong, dead wrong. Playing a puff at a ringside table, sipping iamber, draped in sable. And Joe took a stage with a master's pride and cut his trumpet open wide. He blew hot notes heard round about. He turned that trumpet inside out. Till all the glass was broken. He blew so hot the joint was smoking. His horn turned inside out and curled. The last note traveled round the world. When Joe sat on, the cheering sounds bust tombstones in the burial grounds. His look told Jim with unfeigned joy.
Go peddle your papers, little boy.
Get a hand cock, Jim. Use that horn to peddle fish.
You ain't got a prayer, Blue Eyes. It's like stacking a cellar door dance up against Bill Robbins.
Jim took a stage and struck a stance bold for a guy with a Chinaman's chance. He warmed the hot notes, let them fry to a whisper tone, like strong men cry. They felt his lonely, bitter years as the horn wept soft, metallic tears. Then quick, mad laughter with a jeer. Go cry in your beer, go cry in your beer. And now, switchblade gashes and razor slashes blend with whiskey bottle crashes, culminating in a wail from the foul, deep bowel of a tall walled jail. He ran a scale of man's emotions like changing tides upon the ocean. A harsh note cursed, another prayed, "Have mercy, brother, I'm sore afraid." His horn sang smooth and educated and blue and true and dedicated. The music of that Dixie man was greater than the pipes of Pan. The high, soft sigh of a trumpet's cry can tell what magic words can't try. For the horn sings true as it only can, unmatched by nature, bird, or man. Man sings his heart with tongue or pen. Words give and live through time again, but his very heart and soul ring clear when a true horn speaks for all to hear. crowd sat frozen round a gaff. Jim split the ceiling right in half. He blew the walls down and the doors. He raised the carpets off the floors. Genius boy from a land of cotton, this disinherited, misbegotten son of a slum and sin and gin, blew that scatter outside in. And yet, he seemed like a tired life going home from a weary earth and a heartbreak room to that promised land of a fairer clime out there on the other side of time.
Tear up the jail, sweet, blow it high, and you're my lover till I die.
So Jimmy Blue Eyes hit some bars that blew out half a million stars. And then that never, never note went clear 10 jillion miles to heaven's ear. And when it faded, died and broke, that blue-eyed kid went up in smoke. Now, some rounders claim they're in the know that Jimmy Blue Eyes fries below. But in New Orleans, they'll lay your odds. He's playing trumpet with the gods. For a deacon man was there who preached that before the last note cut and reached the edges of eternity and died, "Father, forgive me," his trumpet cried. No matter where or when hot music blows, if you're not half-assed dad, he knows. Jim's golden horn, the love of faithless Jill, when blues and we were young. In Storyville. Now, Jimmy Blue Eyes came on earth a child of hunger from his birth. They spiked his milk with old time gin, and he played all day round the streets of sin. So come along Perdido Street, where the hot licks tickle dancing feet that shuffle in patent leather shoes. But Jimmy Blue Eyes blew the blues. In Storyville, where jazz was born, there's a legend of the golden horn and a hot-lipped kid, blue-eyed and fair, who hit that note that wasn't there.
Tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, the CBS Radio Workshop has presented The Legend of Jimmy Blue Eyes, an original story ballad by Edmund Brophy, with original music by Ray Noble, and starring William Conrad as narrator, with trumpet by Manny Klein. Adapted and directed by Sam Pierce. Jimmy Dodd, in the part of Jimmy Blue Eyes, appeared by arrangement with Walt Disney, producer of the full-length motion picture in Technicolor, Song of the South, starring Uncle Remus and the Critters. Song of the South will be released nationally Easter week. Also featured in the cast were Roy Glenn, Georgia Ellis, Sam Edwards, Lou Merrill, Nan Boardman, Jack Moyles, and Tony Barrett. Featured in the all-star band were Tom Peterson on trombone, Matty Matlock on clarinet, Sammy Weiss drums, Nat Farber piano, and Larry Breen bass. The Workshop is produced in Hollywood by William Frew.
woman, and a woman is the blue.
Sometimes it rains like a pair of eyes.
Cause blues is a woman, and a woman is the blue.
Bad news and bad news, but mostly bad news.
One ain't enough, and two is too many. Life is rough stuff if you ain't got any. Love is a hunger that few of us can fill.
Two loves rare as a $3 bill.
Love is a heartache that you take and you choose.
Sometimes you win, boy, and sometimes you lose.
Cause blues is a woman, and a woman is the blues.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I'll be back tomorrow with an episode of Case Closed and another horror replay. We'll hear Gangbusters and Rogues Gallery on that Case Closed show tomorrow. You can find more Old Time Radio at relicradio.com. You can also find a link to Case Closed if that sounds interesting to you. You can find links to our blog or forum and everything else at relicradio.com. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.